What's up, everybody? This episode of Arc Junkies is sponsored by WeldDevils.com. For welder-inspired merch like t-shirts, hats, and coffee mugs, WeldDevils.com is your one-stop shop. WeldDevils.com, we are devils. From Podcast Detroit Studios in Royal Oak, Michigan, this is Arc Junkies. What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 16 of Arc Junkies. I am your host, Jimmy McKnight, and I have an absolutely awesome show planned for you today. But before I get into that, I have some announcements to get to. As I've said before, and as you've seen on Instagram, no doubt, December 25th, Arc Junkies is doing a Star Wars The Last Jedi Christmas special, where we're going to be reviewing the movie just because it's Star Wars, it's Christmas, and why not? But what's awesome is the star-studded guest list that I'm going to have on this show for that review. Like Moser Fab, Fort Mill Forge, The Return of Lulu from Doug's Welding Caps, Works by Hearst, and of course, my very good buddy and host of An Elegant Weapon podcast, Mr. J.M. Clark, will all be calling into studio as we review The Last Jedi. And we're going to be doing it on the 25th. I know it comes up December 15th, but we're doing it on the 25th because that way it gives people all time to see it, and it's not going to be spoilers for everybody. That gives everybody quite a little bit of time to actually see the movie and then tune into the episode. So if you haven't seen the movie, don't listen to You Have, because it will be 100% spoiler-filled. I'm telling everybody now, it will be spoiler-filled, but it is going to be a lot of fun, and I cannot wait to do this, just because we like to change it up around here a little bit, and Christmas Day, we're going to have a good time talking Star Wars. Also, that is going to be the last episode of the year for Arc Junkies. I'm going to take a little bit of time off, enjoy some time with the family, as I'm sure all of you are. It's the holiday season, and we will be back to our regularly scheduled programming Monday, January 8th, with a brand new episode of Arc Junkies. Moving on to this week's guest, comes all the way from Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm talking about Rush Kane, aka Kane Kid on Instagram. If you are not familiar with Rush's work, please head over to Instagram right now. Give him a follow. He's Kane Kid on Instagram. He's an absolutely amazing welder and equally amazing human being. I actually met Rush and his wife, in fact, at this year's FabTech Expo in Chicago. And I mean, they're both just amazing, amazing people. And Rush is really a master of thin gauge TIG welding in general, but extremely on the thin gauge stuff. And we dive into some of his tricks of the trade, plus what really inspired him to follow the arc and become the awesome welder that he is today. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Rush Kane.
Excellent!
Where are you calling in from today?
From Salt Lake.
Salt Lake City?
Yeah.
Right on. You're all the way out in Utah, huh?
Yeah.
Cool, cool. So that was kind of a trip then for you to get to FabTech.
Yeah, it was a good one. Well, that was so fun.
Hell yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that because it was absolutely awesome to meet you at FabTech and have some drinks with you and kind of, you know, get into your background a little bit. And you got to actually stay at FabTech a little longer than me. So let's get into what your experience at FabTech was like this year.
I stayed not on the kind of on the other end of town from the McCormick place. So we could just kind of go and hang out after the show and stuff. But man,
so much like there, last right? year.
Yeah. Overwhelming. Like last year was incredible. Like in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And then going to Chicago, like, cause Vegas is close to me. So
right.
it's kind of different. It's kind of like I'm still at home. Right. But then just going there, like, I just planned on the year. That was, like, my vacation for the year. It was so fun, like, overwhelmingly fun. That's what FabTech is.
So I'm kind of trying to get the rotation of it down. I mean, you said last year was in Vegas, this year was Chicago, next year is Atlanta. Does it go back to Vegas after that?
It goes back to Chicago.
Oh, really?
And then to Vegas from, that's what I think.
Okay.
I've only been for 2 years.
Okay. Right on, man. My experience, dude, I only got to go for a couple days and, I stayed a little bit away from the McCormick place too. I wish I would have been able to get an actual, I can hear myself. I wish I was able to actually get a hotel room in the McCormick Place itself, because, like I said before, I've stayed at McCormick Place for C2E2, which happens there, and it's so convenient, man. You just go right up to your room, come right down, get right back into the show. And I actually stayed at this really dingy hotel in Chinatown about 2 miles away from the McCormick Place. And when I bought it, it was like, double room suite, all that, like they worded it perfectly. And then when I got there, man, like, it looked like a Motel 6 under construction. It was horrible. It was so bad. The only like major bonus was whenever you opened up the window, because you were in Chinatown, and I love Chinese food, so all you smelled was just this awesome Chinese food constantly anytime I opened up the window. So that was like the major bonus for me. But getting back into FabTech, the actual show, what were some of the booths or some of the things that really stuck out to you this year?
So like one thing that is always just an awesome place is CK.
Yes.
I plan on that being my first stop. I got there, me and my wife rolled in, a little bit later in the afternoon, the first day. Mm-hmm. And we rolled in, I was headed there, and I went by, and everybody's busy. I didn't recognize anybody there. And so I was like, oh, just right over, like, two booths over was MK. So I stopped in there, and there I walk into MK, and there was Jody Weldmonger, Welding right. Tips and Tricks. So he's the first person I got to run into, which was fun. Perfect. I ran into him last year in Vegas. Super fun guy.
Oh yeah, dude, he's awesome. Such an awesome guy. Just a wealth of knowledge too, man. That guy just drops knowledge bombs every single week.
Absolutely. Oh, and then after that, it was so fun because and then I see Bulldog Welding, Aaron Buford, and Dave Blackburn.
Yep.
I see them walk by. And so I was like, I got to catch you later. I got to go meet up with these guys. And so I sneak up on them. And I just, I don't know if Bulldog told you, but I just like roll up right up behind him and just grab his hand. It was so funny. He's like looking over like, what the heck, who is this? And then he sees who it is, and he's just like, oh.
That's awesome. That was the first time I got to meet Aaron from Bulldog Welding too, was there. And he was the one that actually kind of, I ran into him. I ran into Jody at the same time. And then when I walked over to the CK booth, I was talking to Peter. And that's when I bumped into Scott Robbie. And then it was right after that I bumped into you. And I didn't even, it's so weird because, you know who people are on Instagram, you know their Instagram names, but you don't really know who they are face to face. And
yeah.
When I met you, it didn't click right away when I was like, hey, how you doing, man? I'm Jimmy. Pleasure to meet you. What's your name? And you were like, Rush. And it didn't really click at the moment. I was like, who are you on Instagram? And you're like, Kane Kid. I'm like, oh, no shit. I know exactly who you are. Right on, man. But I wanted to talk to you about the welding specifically, because you're constantly putting out excellent content on your Instagram. I mean, your skill is definitely at the elite level. I want to kind of get into that and talk about the history of where you actually started welding.
I started welding about 14 and a half, 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
When I just started my first year in high school.
So you learned like at the high school?
Yeah. So they had a welding shop. And so that's where they had like this little kind of like community college technical center.
Yeah.
In this town where I grew up. And so I went, I like applied for the class, and I got sent to that little, to the technical center. And I went there and took the welding course because I wanted to learn how to build a bike. Mm-hmm. And so welding will be a good opportunity. I can probably learn how to do that. And so I took the class and fell in love with welding. And then I was interested in TIG welding, and we had the machines. We knew, like, my instructor knew how to, like, he showed me how to turn it on, set it up, kind of gave me the basic, this is how it works. And then let me run with it. And so I kind of had to figure things out from that point, and teach myself.
Did you ever get to build the bike that kind of inspired you to start welding?
I did.
Really? What did you build?
It was like this old, I took an old twin bike, and I chopped it up and stretched it out till it was about like 8 feet, 4 inches long. I put this big, long, stretched out forks with a little spring in it. Uh-huh. So I kind of had some suspension, had like a big 30-inch front tire and a 20-inch rear tire.
Wow.
It was funny. That's had a awesome. solid piece of steel square stock that I twisted back and forth. And that was my lower, frame. It was ridiculous. It weighed like 100 pounds, but it was fun.
Well, that's cool. At least you got to fulfill what inspired you at least.
Yeah.
So many people, and they don't get to do that. They get the bug to get into it, and then they either get caught up in the, you know, putting in the hours and making the money, and they kind of forget that, you know, that project is what really pushed them into this in the first place.
Yeah.
So were you always into bikes like that? Were you into like BMX bikes and stuff like that?
Yeah, kind of. I was never good at it.
Oh, me neither.
But I always, like, I was terrible, but I still did it for fun.
Yeah, that was our transportation before we got cars, man. Straight up.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So what is your favorite style of welding? Like what do you really gravitate towards? Are you more of like the TIG aluminum, TIG stainless, or is there a certain metal that you like more?
I love welding aluminum. Like that's my favorite.
Uh-huh.
I love how fast it is.
Yep.
That's what I really like about it. It's kind of that's what I would say my favorite is. I actually don't weld aluminum mostly. It's usually a lot of mild steel and stainless steel sheet metal.
Mm-hmm. So really thin gauge stuff.
Yeah. So it can get really thin, and that's, like, I think I showed you some of those, little tubes.
Yeah.
That I do, where it's, 6,000ths, wall thickness, 8,000ths wall thickness, which is like, what is that? Like 0.02 millimeters.
I believe so. And at that point, you're not even really adding filler. You're just more kind of fusing it together.
Yeah. So you just fuse it. So like with stuff that small, it's everything is basically 100% nearly about how you can get it to fit.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a slight hair of a gap, that's a keyhole and you're done. And so everything has to be perfect. Like, and so you, how, like when I, a lot of that's just like putting an end cap on it. It's not tube to tube. It's just an end cap. And so the end cap is like 20,000ths to 30,000ths, depending on whatever I'm making it out of.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, you have a square edge on that disc, when you punch it out. And so that corner, if you do the OD, the same size as the tube, you have this outside edge of that 30,000ths disc that gives you enough material. If you take that edge and grab it with the arc on the outside, you can throw that in, and it basically creates a fillet weld of penetration on the inside of the tube. And so it has full penetration, and it's just like you used filler.
Now you're setting the machine up, because I remember when I was talking to you, you're like, I dialed the machine in, and I have these pulse setting set perfectly, because with something that's that thin, I mean, kind of relying on, you know, your pedal fluctuation or anything else, I mean, you're asking for some trouble there, because you could just go a little bit too far or a little bit light and not exactly get it down. So, I mean, you're really kind of counting on your machine settings at that point. Am I correct?
Yeah. So I run the pulse settings on, there's kind of a sweet spot, and it goes for me anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'm running those on, I currently run those on an old Miller Sinkerwave 351. It's like a 97 model.
Yeah.
And it has it's a really stable machine. And the pulser, I set at like a 35% background amperage, 35 to 40% peak amperage, like whatever you're pushing on the pedal, that peak on time, how long that stays on the high end. And then I run about 1.4 pulses per second, and it's a great sweet spot setting. I use it for a lot of things, like doing, mild steel tube work, stainless sheet metal, both with and out without filler. Like, it's a good just like autogenous pulse setting. And if you're going to do filler, you can kind of keep a positive pressure on the filler rod and feed it into the puddle. And the arc, when it pulses, it'll just kind of grab the filler, throw it into the puddle, and just stack the dimes for you.
Hell yeah. What kind of setup are you using on your TIG torch?
So I run CK
like, all day.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's my favorite. Like I've run some others, but CK has been my favorite. They're super flex, torch lines.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're unbeatable. Like they're awesome. And you might have, like some people I know recognize it cause I braided my torch lines. I like to braid them and I don't put a jacket on it. Cause I work with like a small wire bristles a lot, and they, with the torch jacket, if you have like one of those kind of like denim or nylon ones, they tend to grab those fine wires and pierce your lines. And so I don't run a jacket, and I've run the torch for like 3 years, 2.5 years to 3 years, I'd say. No issues. I run it's a 200 FX. It's a flex head torch on, my torch that I run.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been awesome. So that's where I get that torch angle where it's kind of kinked over. It allows me to grab my torch more comfortably. And then I have that on the torch till I have a little foam rubber pad that I know people have been curious about. It's nothing really special. It's like a piece of garden hose
mm-hmm.
handle or whatever. You just threw it over there, super glued it on. Kind of makes it a little bit more comfortable.
So when you're actually welding your aluminum, like you said, is the metal that you really like to do the most. What kind of tungsten are you using for the best aluminum control?
For aluminum, I typically run like a 2% lanthanated.
Uh-huh.
It runs pretty good. I sharpen the tip about at a 40 to 50 degrees, depending, because that kind of brings the arc in a little bit tighter. It forces the penetration more downward into the base metal, mm-hmm. keeps everything narrow. You don't get as much etching from the base material just because it focuses that arc cone more downward. It seems a little bit different than what you would initially think. But yeah, for aluminum, I typically run that. Sometimes on aluminum, I'll run the CK's laser tungsten.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Trimix tungsten that's really awesome. It's made, they actually developed it for TIG Robotics. And so it has a really incredible multi-strike arc ignition life. Like the tip erosion is very, very minute. You can just keep starting up like a fresh sharpened tip with the laser tungsten. And I typically don't run it a lot on aluminum because it falls back more,
mm-hmm.
gets a little bit more erratic. That's why where the 2% lanthanated is a pretty good choice. I know a lot of guys that's their favorite. So those are my two tungstens that I run, and they're both the CK's tungsten too, as well.
Right on.
Just cause you just know what to expect with CK.
I personally, I like to run the multi-mix or tri-mix when I'm doing aluminum TIG. And the reason that I brought that up is because I recently had a question come to me where the guy was, he's like, I'm using green tungsten, 3/32 tungsten on 1/4-inch aluminum plate. And he's noticing that, you know, the tungsten stability is absolutely, you know, it's just not there with the pure tungsten. I mean, once you start really putting the amps through it, you know, the ball on the end is just going nuts at that point.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, what's going on with this? And I told him, I said, honestly, that's why I hate using green tungsten or the pure tungsten, is just for that fact that it gets so erratic and there's no real tungsten stability there, you know? And, I tried, expressing that I use the tri-mix or the multi-mix just because I find that it's just so much more control, because you can get it to that point. It doesn't really ball up too much. And I just find that there's just so much more control with the multi-mix versus the pure tungsten.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Especially like on the modern machines now, like these machines, like it pretty much doesn't matter who, like what machine it is. Like they run incredibly smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Like you get a new machine and they are very hard to tell the difference between machine to machine. And it used to be like you only had a couple tungsten choices. Now you have a lot, and it's kind of like you can't argue and say this one is the best for everything.
Yeah.
Because it has to be like the user, like the machine operator, is going to have a certain understanding and a feel for something different than the next person. And the tungsten might work different machine to machine.
I will 100% agree with that too. The job I just started, I can't remember the model number. It is a synchrowave. It's an old Miller synchrowave. I mean, this thing looks like the beginning of Back to the Future when Marty's turning up all the knobs. I mean, this thing is a dinosaur, but it works absolutely fantastic. However, there is a major difference between using that machine for aluminum or stainless with, you know, your preferred tungsten. Like I noticed a big difference. I was welding aluminum with the multi-mix tungsten from Weldporn, the pink tip stuff. And yeah. I loved it. I thought it was absolutely awesome. But I noticed the major difference between going from that old machine that still ran very well to like a Dynasty 350. You know, it's a massive difference. And I think it's just because the technology changes so much and they can hone it in that much more with these new machines. But the old machines still do very well as long as they're well kept.
Yeah.
So what machine are you using at the moment? You said the Synchrowave, right?
Yeah. So at my daily job, I run that Synchrowave, the Miller Synchrowave 351. Personally, right now I have an Everlast PowerTIG 255.
How do you like the Everlasts? I'm hearing mixed reviews from them. Most people that I'm talking to saying that they're honestly a pretty good bang for your buck.
I would say that it's been an awesome machine. It's been a great machine. The power supply is super stable. It's awesome. It has like all the pulse settings, like full parameters, like set it up exactly whatever you want it to do. That machine can do it when it comes to TIG. That's what I like. Up to 250 amps. Like if that's in your range, it's an awesome machine. I run that with a water cooler too.
Mm-hmm.
Water cooler is very impressive. And that's what I really like about it. The downside, if you go with it, I'd say plan on replacing anything that comes with it. Like your regulator, your hoses, your torches, foot mm-hmm. pedal. Those are the things that are kind of the inhibitors. Other than that, the machine itself, it's awesome.
So what made you make the decision to actually pick that machine up? Like what really stuck out to you to be like, yeah, this is the one I'm going to buy? Because I mean, buying a machine, man, that's a serious investment, really, for anyone at any level. That's a major investment.
Yeah. So what is really cool about that machine is it's just under like the Dynasty 280, mm-hmm. but this machine has dual voltage capabilities. So I can plug it into 110 and I've run it like off of a 15 amp outlet and run it just fine, like up to like 130 amps aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty wild, but I did it and it ran. It got me through this fuel cell job. Just running on 110 AC. It was pretty impressive.
Hell yeah, man. I've been looking into Everlast myself. I'm in the market here pretty soon to be picking up a machine, and I might be doing something with OTC Dihan very soon here and reviewing one of their TIG machines. And that's why I'm saying like it's a major investment, because there is such a choice and every welder has their own particular ones that they know they want, but it's being able to afford that. And I think that's what Everlast really saw. You know, they made something very comparable to the top dogs out there and just a little more affordable for the average guy. But you're right. You know, with that comes the hardware that leaves a lot to be desired. Like you said, you kind of have to just replace all that as soon as you get the machine.
Yeah. And a lot of people will have it, but if it's going to be your first machine, that's what I would just say. Like, it could work great. Like, I know some people that have they got the machine, everything worked great for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the hardware, is the consistency wasn't there in the hardware. but the machine, it's been great for me.
Right on.
So the new machine though that has my interest is that the new ESOB AC/DC Rebel.
Oh my God! Right, that that thing looks so badass. I got to try that at FabTech, man. I fell in love with ESOB at FabTech. Really, like there was a relationship built there, 100%. Because they've always been that they've always been that company that I've seen, but I've never really got a chance to check them out or even use any of their equipment. I just see what's out there, and once I got to FabTech, I got to check out the Sentinel. I got to check out the Rebel. I'm like, this company is amazing. Everything they have is it. And I was talking to Ian from Big Tire Garage, and if that guy can't sell you on ESOB, I don't think anybody could, really. I left there on it just being like, I'm putting all my money into ESOB, guaranteed. Like, I just got the Sentinel. I'm waiting for it to get here. It should get here sometime next week, and I cannot wait to use that. And I see on Instagram that you're using the Sentinel as well, right?
Yeah, so I have a Sentinel, and I have the 9100 XXI Speed Blast.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those are my top two favorite hoods. Like, both of them have a strong point over the other.
Uh-huh.
But they're awesome. Like, super, both of them super comfortable, super ergonomical. Like, the pivot points on the hood to the headgear, you probably noticed that they kind of sit more back towards your ears instead of your temples.
Yes.
And so when you have the hood on your head, instead of pulling your head forward and down, it puts the pressure and distributes the weight straight on your head and down your neck. So you don't have that weight. And so the hoods, even if they are slightly heavier than some of the competitors, they feel half as light when you're actually wearing them.
Just because of how the weight's displayed with the actual headgear.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The Sentinel, the headgear is a little bit more comfortable. It's a little bit more ergonomical, more adjustable, and it's extremely comfortable on your head. That's what I love about it. And the lens is like a crystal blue color. Like when you're like the arc color, mm-hmm. the shade color of it is awesome for, yeah, like on aluminum too, especially like that, like higher amperage AC. It's very, very easy on your eyes. It doesn't give you that eye strain. That's where that hood is really comes in with the strong point.
You know, that I was actually curious about that just because of the fact that it is, you know, you do see through the blue lens with the ESOB Sentinel. But I thought about that when it comes to actual aluminum, because it's so much brighter when you're welding it compared to steel. And with it being, you know, a chrome surface, basically, and a white arc, and you're already looking through blue, it almost seems like it might make it that much brighter just because it's the blue lens. But I mean, from what you're saying, it doesn't at all, and it makes you actually be able to use it more.
Oh, it's pretty awesome. That's if you have to if nobody's ever tried it, like you gotta at least find some way to check it out, because it's pretty awesome. Right. And for the price point is great.
So outside of welding, what are some of your interests?
Welding. Yeah.
Straight up welding.
yeah. I just like, so outside of it, like that's kind of where I have, like, I do the video editing,
uh-huh.
which is fun. Like that's fun. And
you get to incorporate that with the welding though, too. I mean, like I said, the stuff you're putting on Instagram, all the video edits, that nobody's really doing it in the style that King Kid's doing it. If you know what I'm saying, like it really does add that little extra special, you know, touch to it.
I just hope that it's, because there's kind of an image of, if you're going to be a welder, you're probably, people are going to try to put you into this category, and that's what a welder is. And if you're not in that image that people think, then you're not a welder.
Yeah.
That's something that I've tried to kind of show that doesn't have to be true. Like, if you want to do it because it's what you want to do, then go for it.
You know, I agree with you, man, big time. I noticed there is a major stereotype when it comes to welders. Like, I've noticed a lot of people think we're, you know, raging alcoholics. We beat our wives. We're, you know, dope heads. You know, we're in trouble with the law all the time. And it's actually not that at all. I mean, there is that certain element, of course, when you're in like the, you know, the lower pay production welding. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's where a lot of people start. But once you start getting up into the higher ends, I mean, the regulations, especially if you're working for an aerospace company that's FAA regulated, you know, it's quite a different ball game. I mean, you really got to be on your P's and Q's. You got to kind of live the straight and narrow, and you're getting paid to do that as well.
Absolutely. And it's like, and aside from that is like, we have, like, I know, you know, like there's kind of just talked about like this generation gap of welders, like where even companies are putting more focus on automation because the up and coming generation of welders is sparse.
Yeah.
And so some, like what I've tried to do is like, I'll go in and, whenever I have the time and I try to, I'll go in and stop in at some schools and go in and teach for a day, and get to work with like the students and try to kind of help boost it up. Because that's our next generation. That's the next welding job force. And if I can help put something out there too, that can maybe help inspire that, then that's what I hope somewhere that somebody can take out of it.
We're on the same page there, brother. That's the whole point of this show, is to just inspire those that are looking for a rewarding career in welding. Honestly, that's why I'm trying to talk to all the industry influencers. I'm trying to talk to these companies that have all this new exciting technology coming out to actually show what welding can be to the next generation and make it appealing to the next generation. Because you're right, there is that side to it that a lot of people just don't want to work, man. They don't want to go out and get their hands dirty because they think that, you know, if you do that, you're not going to make as much money as the guy who went and got his 4-year degree in philosophy or whatever the hell it is. When he gets out of college, he obviously can't find a job anywhere. Whereas if you go to a trade school and you learn this and you're not afraid to get out there and get your hands dirty, the sky is the limit for what you can achieve and how much money you can actually make in this trade. There's no set wage level, honestly. You can, literally, the sky is the limit. I mean, you can see people out there that are doing very, very, very well for themselves because they weren't afraid to get out there and work. So you said you do some teaching?
I'll just stop in as a guest for like a day at cool. different schools. I try to do it at least once a year. So in the next, hopefully next month, I'll be able to stop in at my hometown school and teach.
So when it comes to teaching, when you're actually working with, you know, these students, what do you kind of do to keep their interest and, you know, show them that this is, you know, an exciting career that you can get into when you're working with them one-on-one or however many you work with when you're doing it?
What's kind of interesting is they've never seen it done in person.
Mm-hmm.
And they've looked online, they've like watched YouTube, Instagram, and seen videos of it done, but they've never seen it in person. And that's, for me, I know that when I was in that situation, I was in their shoes, back when I was in school, there was a guest, welder that came in and he showed us a TIG root on like a foot and a half pipe, like this big old pipe. And he fitted up, spaced it out, and then he did a TIG root all the way around. And I was like, wow, that was incredible. That was amazing. I want to be able to do something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, what is that process? Like, he's using a foot pedal, he's using both of his hands. Like, this is crazy. Like, there's so much going on. What is he even doing? I want to know it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think that just being able to see it in person makes it exciting.
I think you're right, man. It really is. I can completely agree because in my own experience, I learned everything on the job. I didn't go to any trade school or anything. And I started in the production automotive realm of welding. And there was a point where the company I was working for wanted to certify everybody because they were trying to get different work. They were trying to get actual into military work. Well, in order to do that, they had to have certified welders to be able to show to the company that, hey, we have certified welders, we can do this work. And they brought a guy in who was just, this guy was a god of welding, honestly, in my eyes at that point. This guy came in, he was a CWI, CWE, but just knew how to do every single process, and he was damn good at it. And being able to see, you know, working with guys that are just kind of, you know, glorified wire pushers at that point with, you know, no real certification behind them, to see this is what these criteria and parameters have to meet in order to be a certified welder. And you got to make these things look good. And it inspires you, and it really opens you up to, hey, this is what welding can really be. And it gets you into it more. So, I mean, you're right. Seeing it done the correct way is inspiring in itself.
Absolutely.
Well, Rush, thank you so very much, man, for coming on the show. I really do appreciate it. And before I let you go, please tell everybody where they can find you on social media, and if they can ask you some questions, how they can do that as well.
All right. So I'm on Instagram at Kane Kid. I'm on Facebook at Rush Kane GTAW. And just recently I started YouTube, and that's at Kane Kid Welds. So it's just, I don't know how YouTube works, but I just started it up, and it's going to see how it goes.
Right on, man. I'm still learning YouTube myself. I've got a couple just know-nothing videos on there that I'm working on it. I got some things coming for YouTube in 2018, but you're right. It is a little different. But I wish you all the best on your venture into YouTube and your new channel, man. I'm going to be watching, and we're going to be supporting you as much as we can over here at Arc Junkies. And thanks for coming on the show, man. I do appreciate it.
Heck yeah, thank you.
All right, anytime, brother. You take care.
All right,
everybody. That is it for this week. Thank you so very much for listening. I really hope you enjoyed the episode with Rush Kane, a.k.a. Kane Kid. As always, if you like what I'm doing or don't like what I'm doing, you can email the show, arcjunkies@gmail.com. Check us out at www.arcjunkies.com. We are available everywhere that podcasts are downloaded. And if you are an Apple Podcast user, make sure to hit subscribe. That way you never miss an episode. And after you hit subscribe, leave a review. iTunes reviews remain the number one currency of podcasts, and it helps this podcast move higher up on the rankings and reach more people. Thanks to all of you that listen, like, and subscribe. This show is the number one welding podcast on Apple iTunes. Thank you so very much for listening this week, and as always, stay safe and weld hard.